All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection, and it is time to speak with the city folks about city matters, because it all matters. How are we doing, Mike Bailey? How was vacation?
Vacation was great, Tom. Yeah. I appreciate that. It really was. We had a good time. We went down and got a little sandy and a little sun, and I was glad to come back to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where I belong.
Did you see the former chief while you were down there?
I did not, but I suspect we passed each other on the way.
Right there on I-65 or something like that.
So did he mention that he'd given me 2.5 years' notice of his retirement date and that something I managed to be out of town?
Politely.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I thought he might have. Now I hope. You know that I would have given him a roast on the way out the door.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hoping you filled in amiably for
we had fun down at his reception at City Hall on the 30th, I believe it was. There was more cake there than a bakery. And, you know, Sheriff Ona and I were going, oh, that's nice.
Not for you, though.
We were on diets, you know. We're right. Watching our boyish figures.
That's right. Well, I really do. I told him, I said, I really do regret not being there, but I wasn't in charge of this vacation scheduling, so I was just along for the ride.
What's happening? What's developing here in Bartlesville?
There are a lot of things developing, but I'll talk about the past, the most very recent past here first. We got 4th of July. I just wanted to take a moment for anybody, and I know there was a lot of people who got out and saw it, the fireworks at Sooner Park on the 4th of July during Independence Day. Were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, had front row. Those things were great.
That's right. I was very close. It was one of those things where they filled my field of vision every time they went off. And I do think it was the best fireworks show that I have ever seen in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And I just wanted to thank the Kiwanis and all of their volunteers that put that on. They do that. That's no cost to the city. That's put on by the Kiwanis Club. And, man, they really do a great job. They're a great organization. We have a lot of great organizations in Bartlesville, and they're certainly one of them. But they also run the Sooner Junior, which is the mini golf course over by Sooner Park.
That was filled up too.
Yeah, yeah. So they really do a great job, and I'm thankful to them. I'm grateful to everyone who showed up to celebrate our country and our independence that night. And it was a great event, and I was glad that I was able to be back in town for that. We came back. I think we came back on the 3rd, and that was our first event, was to go out that night. So we had a great time. But one of the other topics, one of the things that I discovered as soon as I got in town, was a little bit of an unusual odor and taste in our water.
Yeah,
and
I'm
sure that's been a hot topic. And it's a funny thing. So if you have noticed it, that means that you are sensitive to one of these two chemicals that I'm going to mention. One's called MIB, and one of them is geosmin. If you have not noticed it and you think all the rest of us are crazy, it means you're not sensitive to it. So there's really just two groups of people. And if you are sensitive to it, then what you've noticed in the water is sort of an earthy, dirty, MIB and geosmin are chemicals that smell like dirt. In fact, they are chemicals that are in dirt that make dirt smell like dirt. So that's what those are. They're naturally occurring. They are harmless chemicals. It is not a water quality issue, but it is a taste and odor issue. And so we're trying to resolve those, but I won't give a lot of detail on it. Terry Lortzen can do a much better job, but
contact him if you have questions, because he's scientifically inclined.
That's right. He is. This is his area of expertise, but just wanted to reassure everybody, it's not harmful. I am highly sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I struggle with it as well. But what happens is that as you have algae bloom, this is a natural chemical that they produce. And so when algae blooms, this chemical is produced. This chemical is not removed during the normal treatment process. So it's something that we have to add. There has to be specific additives to control this chemical. When the temperature rises really quickly, the algae rises really quickly, and if it also happens to be at a time when there's a heavy rainfall, then we can't treat for it until after the rainfall. The lake was full, so if we would have tried to treat at the time the algae was blooming, the chemicals would have been washed out of the lake. So we had to balance that. Unfortunately, that means that these chemicals are in the treatment system, and it takes several days. I think it takes about a week for everything from the time the water enters the system until it exits. So what will happen is that people will notice this for the next little while, but we have been treating for it, so it will be for a short period of time. If you're like me and you're highly sensitive to it, it'll feel like forever. But we do try to treat for this. One of the other things that has affected this is that we've been taking a lot of our water off of off of the Caney River. Mm-hmm. And you would think that that would make the water quality worse and that it would have more of these constituents in it. But we actually do have a specific process at the river to address these. We don't have that same process at the lake. So our river pump station is down right now in preparation for the project that we're going to do that's going to completely redo that pump station. So we're taking all of our water from the lake. It just so happened that it was about the same time the algae bloomed. So it will pass, we promise. It is not harmful, but again, we apologize because certainly if you're sensitive to this, it is not, it's not a very pleasant period of time right now for you. And I'm looking forward to it just as much as anybody else. Now, carbon filters do remove the vast majority of this. And depending on how sensitive you are, that may remove it completely. So if you do have a carbon filter in your house, it should remove it. That's one of the few things that actually does neutralize these two. So hopefully, if you do have questions, feel free to call in. You would like to call down and talk to Terry Lortzen. I don't have his number on me right now. Micah, do you remember what Terry's... what the number is to his office?
I'm not sure. Yeah. Do I want to give out his direct line?
Sure. That's fine.
918-338-4107.
There you go. And if you have a hard time getting through to Terry, I think he's out of the office today, feel free to call up and Elaine Baines will put you in touch with somebody. So that'd be 338-4282. Elaine is the gatekeeper at the city. She'll get you where you need to go.
She's kind of like a superhero.
That's it. Does not matter what you need. Elaine will get you where you need to go. So feel free to call up if you have any more questions about that, but we will be working to address it. And again, we apologize that the water is not up to our normal standards, but we'll get it fixed as soon as we can. One last thing before I turn this over to these two guys to wrap up the rest of our program. We had a council meeting, I guess that was last week. Had to think about it. It seems like a lot longer than
that. Holiday will throw you off.
That's right. Holiday did throw me off. So it was actually last Tuesday because we were... holiday on the 5th following the Independence Day. But the most significant thing, and Mike is going to talk about some of the other things that we did that night as far as projects, but probably the most significant thing outside of projects was an agreement with the Fraternal Order of Police. Fraternal Order of Police is essentially they're not really a union, but they are the bargaining unit for all of the police officers in Bartlesville. So we negotiate with them on an annual basis. And we have reached a contract agreement with them. We're really excited about it. This is actually a two-year contract, so that we all love two-year contracts. It means that once we get it behind us, we don't have to do this again, because it's a very lengthy process to negotiate these contracts. But the contract we feel like was a great one. I think they agree with us. The city really wanted to retain more control over the top level positions. So in the police department, this is the captains. And so we reached an agreement there that captains would be promoted internally. In other words, we would promote from within the department. We're not worried about that. We've got great staff at the police department. We certainly have individuals capable of being captains. But we removed the captain from what they refer to as a promotional process. So in contracts, there's typically a really lengthy process that you have to go through to identify who it will be. So for the captains, they'll be removed from that, and the chief and the senior staff can choose the captains that they believe are the best, but we will choose them from within our department. So we came to an agreement on that, and we also adjusted their longevity. So for police and fire departments, it's very common to have longevity where you award somebody for being there longer. And so we adjusted their longevity to what we refer to as the average of their universe. And so their universe is, we look at five cities up by population and five cities down by population. So that's everyone from Midwest City down to, I believe, Jinx. And so in those 10 cities between the two of them, we compare ourselves to them. And we were behind. We had been behind in pay and in longevity for both fire department and, or for the police department, and a little bit less so for the fire department. So we adjusted the longevity to average, and we also adjusted their pay scales to average. And if anybody's curious as to how far behind we were, it took 12 to 18% to get those guys caught up to what the average of our peer cities were. So we were glad that we were able to do that this year. It certainly makes it much easier to recruit and retain officers. And we have a very vested interest in ensuring that we have the best police officers available for our citizens. And this is an important part of that. We're working on something similar with the fire department. We're not quite as far along in the process. It looks like we will likely go to arbitration. We'd essentially offered them the same thing. We wanted a two-year contract. We wanted some control over the top positions in the promotional process. And in exchange, we were going to adjust the longevity and the pay scale to average. So those are the things that we're working towards. We'll talk more about the IAFF agreement later this month as we get closer to arbitration. But wanted to put that out there and to thank the FOP. They were very easy to work with this year. They got what they needed out of this, and the city got what they needed out of it as well. And both parties negotiated in good faith, and that was the end goal. So we're in a good place, and wanted to thank them and tell the citizens that we have a 2-year agreement with your police department and your police officers in that department, and that we're in a good position to ensure that you have the best officers available for you. So. With that, I'm going to turn it over to these two guys. I've got Greg Collins here, and I believe this is Greg's first time on the on the radio.
Good morning. Good morning.
And good morning to you.
And Greg is our Assistant Community Development Director, and also at our council meeting, we had something that we thought it was noteworthy. It was certainly new. It's something that we've never had happen before. And we have a gentleman who has an agreement with the city so that he can do paddle boat rentals on MJ Lee Lake. So, yeah. Greg, I'll turn that over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. So, yes, this was a very interesting proposal. It came to the city, came to us kind of unsolicited, Mr. David Valdez and his wife, Sarah Joy. Mr. Valdez, I understand he's run an ice cream delivery truck business for many, many years here in the community. And he stepped forward and approached the Community Development Department with an idea to provide a paddle boat rental service on Lee Lake. And for those who aren't familiar with the name, Lee Lake, that's the lake that's across the street from Silver Lake Shopping Center, you know, across from Adams Boulevard, across from the Petco, TJ Maxx, Ross, Lowe's Shopping Center. His proposal, he presented it to our park board on June 17th. And the proposal was for providing a docking station for 10 paddle boats, kind of a standard H-shaped dock, and a separate pontoon structure where he would run his business out of that facility. He discussed it with Park Board, staff reviewed it, and Park Board recommended approval of a lease of the property. Of the city property at Lee Lake, and it's a lease that is geared towards a very short term, at least starting out, 5 years, but with a review annually of the lease, just to see how things are going. And it looks like a very exciting prospect. It was recommended for approval by the Park Board on June 17th, and City Council approved it and approved the lease on July 6th.
Beats taking your own boat down there and trying to
get it. And we do. You can actually
put in
a boat.
You can do that, yep. But
could. There's
boy,
a ramp.
Good luck.
Yeah, and of course it's a small lake, so yeah. Paddle boats are really an easy way to get around on the lake. You'd be able to fish from the paddle boats, I believe.
That's right. You could fish from the paddle boats. You wouldn't be able to swim. You know, swimming's prohibited in Lee Lake, and so you wouldn't be able to jump off the paddle boat and go for a swim. I guess if you accidentally fell out, there'd be
okay.
The exception for that, but you need to get... right, depending on how hot it is. But you need to get right back in that paddle boat. So
don't jump in the water and teach those fish a lesson.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, but we really are excited. I think that this will bring more people to Lee Lake, which, I mean, honestly, Lee Lake is quickly becoming sort of a gem of our community. It has a connection to Pathfinder. There is a trail around it. There'll be a couple of pavilions that'll be put up probably by the fall. Those are being internally constructed by Parks guys. So the Parks guys, we got to wait until they're done, really till the grass slows down, and then we can get them back out there to do that. But we'll get those constructed. There's lighting out there. It's connected to the dog park. It really is a great facility, and this is just one more amenity out there for people. The lake is primarily a fishing lake, and it will continue to be so. It really, again, it's a great asset for our community, and this is just one more reason for folks to go out there and spend time at it. So, Greg, what were the rates?
The rates, I think Mr. Valdez, right now he's proposing rates of $10 for 30 minutes of usage of the paddle boat And the paddle boat would have a maximum capacity of 4 occupants. So it's, you know, for 4 people, splitting $10, you know, each way, you know, you're talking $2.50 a person for 30 minutes of some fun out there. His season, I think his proposed season for now is that his standard season would be March through October, but then he would offer, I think, a wintertime season, an off season at a reduced rate on a monthly basis. The other thing he presented, and I thought this was interesting, was kind of an early bird special for folks who want to perhaps try to get in a workout, you know, early in the morning, yeah, before the standard opening time. He's offering a $50 a month exercise membership for the paddle boat usage. So he's got other plans. He said that his expected hoped for start date or opening date would be sometime early September. He's in the process of applying for a building permit for construction of the dock, and he's striving. He thinks that it'll take about 6 to 8 weeks for construction of the project, and he hopes to be operating by early September.
Very good. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, really will. And it's the all of the improvements are essentially floating improvements, so there will be a affixed to the shore. But yes, if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, then the entire structure will be removed, and it should be like it was never there.
That's right. No permanent improvements on the shoreline or in the lake. That's right.
That was important to the park board as well, is that if this did not work out, then the facility could be completely removed. So exciting. Again, we've got a lot of little things happening in Bartlesville that make it just a very unique place to live.
So. One more thing to come by and make a visit. And our friend Maria always says, all it takes is a visit.
That's right. Just come on by. We think you'll love us. All right. Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. So, Micah, we had several projects that were approved and one that was not approved
right
at our council meeting. But before we jump into that, why don't we give everybody an update on Price Fields?
Because I
suspect if you've seen it, you're curious to know what's going on, and we might as well
go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off.
That's right. Yeah.
Jump right in. Yeah, so Price Fields, we were hoping to have that up and running really this spring. I say spring, late spring, early summer. We knew that we likely would not make this year's baseball season with it, if possibly partway through the season was the original plan, I believe. So it seems like every time we've done this is the third phase now, and it's just when you're trying to get sod established in winter and spring, it just never really quite shakes out quite how you hope. But so we're right on Price Fields. The improvements are complete, other than the fact that we ran into some issues on the grades on the actual fields. And so we had emphasized with the contractor from the start that, you know, the restrooms are nice, the concessions are nice, you know, the paving's all nice, but really without all that, without the fields,
right,
there's no need to have all that.
That's
right,
that's where we play baseball.
And what's the one thing that really has not gone as well as the grades on the fields? And so again, ran into some issues with weather during construction that didn't help us any as far as wet conditions and things of that nature. But long story short, they didn't get the grades quite right on the fields before they laid sod, and so now we're stuck with some areas that don't drain well. It's just not super smooth, not what we'd like, and the sod condition is not what we'd like either. Now again, had to install sod when it was cold, had some adverse weather conditions as far as late freezes, things of that nature. So there's been some other things. It's not completely their fault, but the grades and whatnot, that is something they should have gotten right. And so we're trying to hold their feet to the fire on this, and they're sticking with us through it. It's just not going as quickly as we'd like, but long story short, whenever you'll see them out there working, we're trying to get those grades right. So filling in low areas, cutting some areas down, things of that nature, just to make sure it drains and will function moving forward. So that's where we're at on it. They've got about 2 of the fields what they have said they think is complete. They're working on the other fields now, and really each time it rains, we're going out there and double checking. And making sure that it is in fact doing what we're hoping that it does.
Needs to shed water.
And so we're working through it. It's been kind of a struggle, but again, the contractor, they're not leaving us high and dry at this point. They're still hanging in there with us. And it's going to take some time. So
for anybody that's concerned about the condition of Price Fields, and if they're not satisfied with the way those new fields look, they're not alone.
Neither are we. Yeah, we're not satisfied with it either.
The reason we're not playing baseball on them right now is because we're just not satisfied with the condition of the fields, and
that's
we
correct.
Won't until we are.
That's correct. And that's the unfortunate part about it. You know, and the league's been good. The Y's been good. They've been understanding. And really it helped knowing that we probably weren't going to have them ready for this season anyway. Now, if we get into it and we're having struggles with this in the fall, then I'm certain there's going to be some people that are upset. But but I think we'll get there. I think here in the next month or something, we'll see some good differences, so good improvement.
So keep an eye on them, but be patient. We'll get them right.
Be patient.
We will absolutely get them right.
We are working on it. So.
All right. Well, I wanted to take a moment because I know that's been a hot topic. And
it has. It has, yeah. And it's, you know, it's no one's more disappointed than me. So
yep,
we're trying.
Out of all the city staff, I think you're the biggest baseball fan. This one stung.
It stings a little bit for sure.
All right, well, talk about the community center. I think we awarded the last of a series of projects for the community center.
We did. We had as part of the 2013 sales tax extension, we had three projects planned for. Actually, more than that, we did a couple other projects early on.
Yep.
I think there was five projects that we had planned for the community center. We did replace the boilers.
Yep.
We replaced the roof on the community center. And then we had three other projects that were discretionary projects that we shifted towards that last year, which we just wrapped up essentially, or just finished up the last year of that 7-year extension. And so those three projects were the auditorium renovation was the largest. We had a budget of $550,000 for that. And then the concrete drive replacement, which is the main drive right there in front of the entrance into the community center. So it ties in from Adams over to, I guess it'd be Silas, where that connects. And we had $150,000 for that. And there was also the carpet replacement project, carpet and stair nosing. And I forget the actual budget on that. I think it was $250,000. That's not true. I think it's $200,000 on that budget. So we had those three projects going. The carpet was the first one that hit the ground running. We've actually about to wrap that up. We're waiting on a office remodel project that the community center had taken on themselves before we can finish that project. But the rest of the carpet has been replaced throughout the facility. That project came in over budget. We knew that going into it. The $550,000 for the auditorium renovation, we felt like we shifted gears a little bit on that. We did instead of completely replacing seating, we're just reupholstering the existing seats. As they got to looking at it, there's a few factors that came into play on that. A, you have the community center, which is a kind of a showpiece for the community. The existing seats really were in good condition structurally.
Yeah.
Really nothing wrong with them. They're probably better quality, really, than newer seats that you can get now as far as, I mean, I think quality construction years ago is,
right.
I mean, not just not as great anymore.
Held up extremely well.
They've held up well. So really the only things that were issues on them were the, the upholstery wearing out. The arms were probably the weak point on those. They were just a little piece of wood that was bolted to the seat and then covered with some upholstery and some padding. And then the cushioning as well in the seat. So. But really, the structure of the seats was in good condition. The other issue with it is that really these seats are larger than some of the seats that really are considered a large seat anymore.
Right.
Everything seems to be getting smaller, apparently. Another issue is if you go to replacing all the seats and you get into possibly some ADA considerations that you have to think about. And so really, collectively, if you take all that into consideration, they really wanted to stick with the existing seats. And so we shifted gears on that, and that actually reduced the budget substantially, or reduced the cost substantially. And so we knew that going into it. We didn't know where that was going to fall exactly. We had estimates and whatnot, but we plan on using the savings from that project to do the concrete renovation in the front and also the carpet. So we knew we could go over budget on those somewhat because we're going to be able to make up for it with the auditorium renovation. So. We awarded the concrete portion of it, I guess, last month, back in June. We should start construction on that here sometime in August. And again, that came in about $60,000 over budget. I think the carpet portion was about $40,000 over budget. And so you factor those in, you know, we're right there around $100,000 over budget on those two. But whenever the bids came in on the auditorium renovation, it was, I think, $300,000 as opposed to $550,000, which was the budget. So.
Yes.
So we had some savings.
Pretty good balance.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good balance. We have a little bit over $100,000 in overall savings on the three projects. So the auditorium renovation was awarded last Tuesday night. And all these projects really, are, other than the carpet, are slated for really the only, let's call it a downtime for the community center.
As down as it gets.
It's funny, we talk about downtime, and they're saying, hey, can we work around this event? And this is like, wait, I thought we weren't doing anything in August and September. But, you know, which is a good thing.
Yep.
It's a good thing.
They've
got
they
lots
stay
of stuff
pretty busy.
Going on. You know, we started the carpet project early because of COVID, really. A lot of their events
absolutely
had been canceled and postponed.
It was good timing to get in there and
good
do
timing.
Some of that.
Actually, would have liked to have gotten on it quicker than we did. Just we weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
And been nice to have these ones going during that period.
Yeah,
but again,
been.
We just weren't expecting that, right? So we were targeting all along later this summer and fall, early fall, because that is really as far as a downtime, the best downtime for them. There's a few events still around, but for all intents and purposes, they're pretty well closed down for those 2 months. So we'll start work then in August. Hope to wrap up sometime late September. Now the auditorium renovation part of it, as far as the seating reupholstery, that'll actually carry over later into the fall. However, we're going to go ahead and phase this thing to where they have enough seats at any given time to handle the events that they have planned. So there will be reduced seating, but we've tried to make sure that we have enough seats for what they're expecting. So anyway, good projects, great facility. The community center staff have been great to work with. Val's been great to work with. Pat, good group of people over there. So looking forward to getting these done for them. So
good. Well, and one other project we had that night, we had Sooner Pool. So we got a couple of minutes here. Let's talk about it and what we did with Sooner Pool.
Okay, yeah, we did. We rejected we only had one bid on that project. We had two bidders that were interested. One was a local and one was semi-local, Tulsa area. And only one of them actually bid the project, and it came in about $462,000 over budget, which was disappointing.
Say the least, yeah.
Yeah, we think there's some factors in there. We think the fact that really we only had one bid was part of the factor. The way we set this thing up, you know, swimming pools are fairly specialized, and
right.
So we require in there that they use an actual pool contractor for the pool amenities, if that makes sense. So maybe not the concrete, not the grade work, the site work, stuff like that, but as far as installation of
the pool
improvements, the pumps, the piping, the, you know, all that kind of stuff, the structures. We require that be somebody who does this for a living. That's their bread and butter. So that being said, we think there's only one of those guys working with the two bidders we did have, and so we're fairly certain that they knew that they're probably the only dog in the fight.
No competition,
so,
huh?
No competition. So we think that ratcheted things up a little bit. We also think that we could clarify some things on the plans to hopefully get better pricing. We've gone back and revisited the estimates, and we still don't think that it should be nearly as high as it was. A prime example would be on the existing pool resurfacing. We had $300,000 planned for that.
Yep.
We actually thought it'd be a little bit less than that, and it came in at almost $600,000. We're talking almost double just to resurface the existing pool.
That seems a little out there.
And so we think we can clarify some things. We're working on setting up a meeting this week with the contractor and with the consultant to go through and just see what maybe gave them pause. If there's anything there that scared them on the bid as far as beefing up those numbers. So we're going to work through that. We're going to get it rebid and hopefully get some more interest. One of the key things as part of that rebid is to make sure we get the word out and try to get more interest from other contractors and get more than just one bid.
I think that's critical that we do have competition on this. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was we were a little disappointed in that, but it's certainly not the end of it. We're going to go back out. We still think the design that we have is affordable.
Correct.
Or is within our, could be built within our budget.
Right.
And of course,
right.
The design, Micah, it was to add, was it three water slides?
So it's going to be three large water slides. They'll be larger than what's at Frontier.
Yep.
They'll be about 45 feet tall. I think the ones there are about 22 to 25 feet tall, something like that. So just not quite double. Three slides. One will be a speed slide, kind of like I forget the name of it back in the day.
Like the one at Bailey's house. A little bit
anyway,
of free fall in them. Those are always
exactly,
fun.
Exactly. So it should be fun once it's done.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. We'll get that one back on track, and hopefully we'll have a good result for it soon.
All right. Thank you, one and all. Thanks for listening to One on One with a Professional.